And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Dr. Chung Ning Ning on the line. G'day, how are you,
Chung Ning? Hi there, Annie.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm good, thank you.
Chung Ning is the senior researcher at Beyond Zero Emissions, and the reason why I've woken you up this morning is because I want some answers about hydrogen, and because it's it's the big thing at the moment, but there are different types of hydrogen, aren't there?
Yes, that's quite right. Hydrogen has been quite popular in the news right now, and it's a very exciting time, but you're right, there are different types of hydrogen. And that's important to understand, because depending on the type, it means that its impact on the climate is going to be different. And so I guess I can start off with the most exciting and most promising one, which is what people often call green hydrogen, or what we also call renewable hydrogen. And that is hydrogen produced using electricity and water. And of course, in this case, it will be produced from renewable electricity. And the great thing about hydrogen is, because it doesn't contain carbon, when you consume it for either energy or making the products, it doesn't release carbon dioxide. So obviously that helps us decarbonize our economy. But that's a good one, made from electricity and water, renewable electricity and water, and it's called green hydrogen or renewable hydrogen. The other types of hydrogen are fossil-based hydrogen. And so these take fossil fuels, whether it's coal or gas, and then turned into hydrogen from there. And obviously, because these are carbon-based processes, they do emit CO2. There's various ideas and ways that people have said that you can address them, and to an extent, I guess that is true. But at the end of the day, you're still starting with fossil fuels, which makes it less ideal. And it's also an older type of way of producing hydrogen. It's been quite common in the past, but we do think that the future of hydrogen will be all green and renewable hydrogen and made from renewable electricity. And so that's so important when you, distinction.
So when you hear the term clean hydrogen, it's greenwashing.
Yes, when you hear the term clean hydrogen, a lot of times that refers to both the green renewable hydrogen, as well as what people call blue hydrogen, which is combined with carbon capture and storage. And that is the important thing to understand. It combines both of them. So you're right. It's in a way confuses the situation a little bit, because it is quite different. One is based on fossil fuels and one is based on renewable electricity. And so it's frustrating to talk about, because it is a little bit to confuse and sort of like combine these very different processes into one. And so I guess one important thing to note is, like, when discussing hydrogen, make that distinction, not just clean hydrogen, but whether it's renewable hydrogen or whether it's fossil-based hydrogen.
Now, when you say this, I would really like to understand the process. What do they mean when they say hydrogen as a energy source? I mean, how does it work?
Yeah, no problem. Hydrogen, I guess, is in this sense, what they're talking about is the molecule H2, which is just two hydrogen atoms. And the great thing about this particular molecule is that it can be used in a variety of different ways. So you can put it through a device called a fuel cell and to generate electricity. You can also just burn it directly, produce heat. And so you can use that to replace methane and so fossil gas for heating. But you can also use that to power turbines and produce electricity that way. You can also use hydrogen in chemical processes. And so you can make all our, so currently steel making emits a lot of CO2 because it's based on coal processes. But you can actually develop a new way using hydrogen, where you can create the steel that you need for our society without releasing the CO2, because there's no carbon involved in the process. And if you power all of that by renewables, it will be a 100% zero emissions way to produce steel. So often that's called green steel. And there's other chemicals like ammonia and things like that, and chemical production that can also be made zero emissions by the use of hydrogen as a feedstock or as a starting material.
So are you saying that the two atoms of hydrogen react with each other because of the impulse of an electrical input to get heat and power and energy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so that's one way to do it. But pretty much like the hydrogen, because they're quite they can react with a number of different things. So if you put that into iron ore and heat that up, that's how you produce the steel. You can also just like burn it, so you can ignite it with electricity or just another ignition source, and then that will burn and then create heat. You can also put it through a chemical device, what is called a fuel cell, and then that's another process in which you can generate electricity by reacting that with oxygen. That creates water, and then you get electricity at the end of the day.
And hydrogen, like as it was pointed out to me, hydrogen is the most common gas in the universe.
Yes, that's right. It's definitely the most abundant one. And it's the same thing that powers our stars. It's really amazing. Like, there's a whole different process called fusion that goes on in there, which we unfortunately can't tap into right now. But yes, it is one of the most, well, it is the most abundant element in the universe. And I guess it's the same on Earth. It is very much abundant here. And I guess the form that most people find it in is actually in water, where if you remember the formula, maybe not, but like water is often chemically described as H2O. And that H2 is the hydrogen. And so when I say you can use water to create hydrogen, that's how it happens. You take the H2O and you pass the electricity through it, and it becomes H2, which is the hydrogen that we use, as well as oxygen.
All right. Now, the next thing is, of course, water isn't that abundant in Australia.
Yes, no, you're quite right. The water used to make hydrogen, it is very important to consider how we use our water to create hydrogen. I will say the use of the volumes of water needed is significant, but when you compare it to other industries, like whether it's mining or you know, just how to power our current like coal and gas power plants, it is quite small compared to those volumes of water.
Right.
But nevertheless, it is still an important consideration, especially if you're in inland, drier locations, because obviously water is scarcer there. You do have to carefully manage how it's done. There's some interesting technologies, whether it's like extracting some moisture from air to use that moisture to produce hydrogen. There's also ways you can tap into desal. But there's also really cool ways where you can use existing processes that release water, whether it's like water treatment plants or like industrial processes. It's like, you know, cooled water that just like comes out in their cycles. You can take that and then put it into the electrolyzers and make hydrogen from there. So you reduce the impact on the environment.
And so when they say that, say, places like Germany or places in Europe are interested in Australia becoming a hydrogen creator,
yes.
You know, explain to me what I'm imagining. Is it like the liquid gas ships floating around the world taking across to Europe hydrogen? Is that what it is or what?
In a way, yes. Yeah. So it is very like interesting, this trade, because one of the great, I guess, opportunities and exciting things about hydrogen is that it allows us to transport energy. So as opposed to, I guess, renewable electricity, where often once you generate it from the solar panels or wind turbines, you have to sort of use it straight away. You can store it in batteries. But when we're talking about, you know, these like terawatt scales for powering countries, it's not really feasible for batteries. And so this is where hydrogen is a really good option. So as a chemical, and I guess you could think of it similar to what we currently do with fossil gas. Obviously, we're moving away from that, but you still need, like, some countries have energy that they can export to other countries which have less renewable resources, like Germany and Japan and South Korea. And so they will need some way to power their economies that's zero emissions. And so hydrogen can provide that pathway for us to get Australia's abundant renewable resources and energy over to those countries which are renewable poor but still want to go to zero emissions. And so hydrogen allows us that the method for carrying that energy over. I will mention, like, hopefully it doesn't complicate things too much, but hydrogen would likely be changed into another form, whether it's going to be compressed or liquefied or turned into another chemical called ammonia, which also can carry energy is up for debate. I believe the technologies for that and whatever is most cost efficient or safe and is still being like researched and developed. But there's definitely a lot of projects and a lot of people interested in scaling that to allow this zero emissions energy trade to happen around the world.
So that's how, and then when it arrives in the other part of other place, it's then activated, is it, by infusing it with a pulse of some sort?
That's right. Well, yeah. So once a hydrogen arrives at the other place, depending on what form it's shipped in, if it's ammonia, they can just use ammonia directly, but you can also convert ammonia back into hydrogen. And again, that hydrogen can then be used for all the applications I talked about, whether it's for generating electricity, for generating heat for industry or just general, or for like inputs into the industry processing. So whether it's steel or chemical manufacture, that sort of thing.
That's interesting because what you're describing is something that the big end of town might enjoy because it means lots of science and a big build, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I guess it's one of the how to put this, I guess. I guess when we want to rapidly decarbonize, at least what we're really striving for is beyond zero emissions, we have to include everyone. And so that also includes the big end of town. And we do firmly believe there is shift starting to happen. And so we want to accelerate and push that as fast as possible because we don't think decarbonization can happen without everyone on board. And so by investing in these new technologies, by making sure that they scale up as rapidly as possible so that they can take over from our current fossil fuels and switch over to zero emissions and renewable fuels, that way is how we drive our climate action. So that's how our approach. And then we also see like this hydrogen trade as delivering benefits to a lot of the communities as well, because obviously a lot of the workers there are currently heavily tied to fossil fuel work. And we do know and we do firmly believe that they need to be able to shift onto other jobs, other sectors, other ways in which to, you know, support their livelihoods. And so we think things like renewable hydrogen, things like green steel and green aluminium, as well as like critical minerals is a great way to both give jobs to regions and communities, as well as to accelerate that decarbonisation across the entire economy, not just in Australia, but also overseas as well, where they are, again, less rich in renewable resources.
So it's creating a mirror economy of the one that we have already.
Yes, but completely based on zero emission processes.
Yep, okay. And the next thing, of course, is that it doesn't replace other renewables like wind and solar. It's actually an adjunct, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's quite complementary and definitely relies on renewable electricity from wind and solar because, like I said, the way to generate it is from that renewable electricity. Like renewable hydrogen is a great way in which to store, so not just for shipping overseas, but just to store within our grids. Because as people often say, you know, when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine, what are we going to do? And then here it is, hydrogen. Hydrogen is the thing that will help us power through. Hydrogen, I will say, in combination with other technologies like batteries, potentially pumped hydro, but also like there's a whole range of different storage technologies that will come to play. But hydrogen is definitely going to play a big role in that because you can store vast quantities of energy as hydrogen and then release it back to the grid. And so it is a great complementary sort of form of energy. I guess if you could think of it, it's just a different tool in our toolkit to address our energy demand. And so just like going from the old fossil fuels, you have different like oil and gas and coal for different things. We will have solar, wind, hydrogen batteries in our toolkit to supply energy to power our society.
There's some movement in New South Wales towards this technology. Can you reflect on that at all?
Yeah, I will say there's actually some really great progress and initiatives shown by New South Wales, by a lot of states actually, but New South Wales in particular, I guess, recently has come up with some very ambitious announcements, which we firmly applaud. I guess one great thing is they do, from what I've read, a lot of it does focus on this renewable and green hydrogen, relying on renewable electricity to power it. They've got a 50% emissions cut by 2030, and they are launching renewable energy zones that will greatly accelerate the development of renewable energy resources. And so all that ties in to create more renewable hydrogen. I guess there is, I guess being governments and also just the fact that right now industry is still discussing. Obviously, we would like a renewable hydrogen to just be the one, but obviously it takes time for industries and those sort of bigger organisations to understand and firmly grasp with it. So I do believe that there could be some... I shouldn't actually say that because I don't... I do think, actually, if I remember right, now I'm just, like, trying to remember the actual report and the announcement, I do actually think they've focused completely on renewable hydrogen and they're not trying to confuse things.
This is at the same time as there being a hideous amount of government money going into some coal-fired stations and stuff like that. So there's a lot of conflicting weirdness going on.
Yes, that's kind of like, because, yeah, it is a struggle sometimes because, yes, on one hand, there is some great developments and targets and sort of ambitions being set. But on the other hand, obviously, there's also dealing with like older infrastructure and sort of ways of doing things. And, you know, we...
Yeah, well, the urgency for the climate. The urgency for the climate is much more important than the political ambitions of puny men in suits and women in suits as well. But anyway, by the by, thank you very much for telling us a little bit more about elucidating this issue of hydrogen, green hydrogen, because it's all very well for it to be bandied around, but it's nice to get a sort of a practical. A handle on it.
Yes, very much so, and very, very glad to explain and hope everything has made sense. But I will say, at the end of the day, definitely fight and advocate for green and renewable hydrogen and the other forms. We can sort of hopefully move beyond very quickly because we think that similar to like how solar and batteries have come down so much in price, this green hydrogen and renewable hydrogen technology is only just at the start, and in the coming years, it will rapidly decrease in price and the uptake will go through the roof. And we want all our investments and infrastructure in place to really adapt to that and allow us to really build onto this zero emissions future. But yeah, thank you for inviting me and to speak with your listeners, and I hope it's been helpful.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Thank you, Annie.